We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's Friday, February 3rd, 2023. Alex Perutha here with Shannon McEwen. Ken is unavailable today. Injury management. Concussion-like symptoms from this podcast. He may have screamed too hard during the FanDuel real cash section and popped a blood vessel. We're hoping he's doing okay. Let's jump right into the news. Luka Doncic exited Thursday's win over the Pelicans after playing just 23 minutes due to a bruised right heel. He went up for what appeared to be like a layup, got knocked off balance, fell backwards, landed awkwardly on his ankle, and then crashed to the floor on his hip. They are going to provide an update today, Friday, regarding his status. So by the time you're listening to this, you may already know. I would be surprised if he played tomorrow, Saturday, based on how the injury looked to me. We also have, I guess, let's assume Doncic is out for a little bit, like a week. It's more Dinwiddie, more Christian Wood once he's healthy. Is there anybody that you are looking to pick up off the waiver wire if he's out for an extended period of time?
Yeah, a couple of the other guys. I mean, Jaden Hardy is somewhat interesting. He's played 11 and a half more minutes per game in the five games that Luka has sat, in which Hardy has played. Josh Green's another one. Josh Green, I like him more than Hardy from the standpoint that he's already playing a decent chunk of minutes. His minutes increased by about 5 per game with Luka out, from 22 to 27. So outside of the usual guys, right? We know Christian Wood, like you said, Dinwiddie, those guys see massive upticks in production with Luka out. Wood, of course, still injured, but he's at 13 more fantasy points per game when Luka's out. Dinwiddie's at 12 and a half more fantasy points per game. They basically both go from like mid-round guys to top three-round values with Luka out. Hardy goes, he gets an extra 10 fantasy points, but that only pushes him up to 16. Then you've got the Tim Hardaways of the world, the Reggie Bullocks. Not as high on those guys if you watched the Dallas Mavericks game on Thursday, you would know why. Both were just atrocious from the floor. I think Hardaway was like 2 for 19 or something just mind blowing like that. Yeah. He was, 3 for 18 and 2 for 12 from 3-point for Hardaway last night. Played 40 minutes and was just firing him up. He looked like me in pickup ball. Just brick and everything. Dorian Finney-Smith, we'll discuss more later. But he's a guy who I do like more with it doesn't always translate, but he's playing well right now. The fact that it doesn't always translate that he sees more production with Luka out, at least in the past five games this season. But I do think we'll see that given the way DFS is playing right now. He was solid last night. He's playing a boatload of minutes. So Dorian Finney-Smith, Josh Green, Jaden Hardy in a super deep league. Anyone else?
I don't think so. I think this is mostly like a deep league situation because there's just not one individual guy. And a lot of the guys who might be stepping up, like you mentioned, it's like, yeah, 10 more fantasy points per game from 6 to 16 or from like 10 to 20. And it's in deeper leagues. I think there's some options there, but we'll learn more today. So that'll be helpful. Last night we had Giannis go off for 54 points, 19 boards, and 2 assists during a last night's comeback win over the Clippers at home. This is the third time in the past 11 games that he's reached the half century mark. You can get him for MVP odds right now at 13-1. Do you think that there is a best bet for MVP, or just in general, aside from the betting world, is there someone you like the most this year for MVP?
Well, there's usually some kind of story or theme that you follow each year, right? So The last couple of years, it's been all about Jokic and Embiid. Obviously, Embiid's finished second in each of those 2 years in the MVP voting. It's the NBA standings are going to matter significantly. So right now we've got the Celtics sitting atop the East with the Bucks at the 2 seed and the Sixers in the 3 seed. In the Western Conference, Nuggets are the number 1 seed. Grizzlies are number 2. Kings, the Sacramento Kings, lighting that beam all the dang time, are the 3 seed with 29 wins. Luka and the Mavs are the 4 seed. It's wild. I think it's going to be a very tight race. My feeling on Giannis is that he is by far the best, or not by far, but he is the best player in the NBA. There's probably no one playing better than him right now. His team has that number 2 seed. So that part of the conversation's there, but I just worry there's some fatigue and the fact that he's won it a couple times already. Will voters want to go back to him? Go to Embiid, Luka, maybe one of the upstarts with the Grizzlies or the Mavs, depending on if they go, if they can reach the number 1 or number 2 seed in the Western Conference. And then Jokic, if the Nuggets are the number 1 seed, Jokic is going to get lots of considerations. I really do feel like it's totally up for grabs right now. And we're going to be looking at whomever plays best down the stretch, the final 25 games of the season, and finishes with like a 1 or 2 seed in their conference.
Yes. All the advanced stats still point to Jokic. You look up pretty much anything. Like the basketball reference has their MVP tracker that gives it to Jokic. You look up point differential. The Nuggets are 24 points per 100 possessions better when Jokic is on the floor. Like there are so many things that point to him. At the same time, I mean, this is something that I talked about with Whalen on the pod yesterday or the day before. The list of guys who have won 3 MVPs is very exclusive, and I think the media doesn't like to anoint guys into that category. I think the worst guy of that bunch is Moses Malone, of the guys who've won at least 3 MVPs. And the only person in that group who has not won a finals MVP is Bill Russell. He had 0 finals MVPs and 5 regular season MVPs. So it's a situation where, like, it's not crazy to say that Jokic is as skilled as Larry Bird or Magic Johnson was, guys who have won 3+ MVPs, but he has no finals MVPs. And I think voters would rather have him see, they would rather see him get that before they give him a third one. So I think that voters would be more confident giving Giannis a third one. And, so I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up going to like Embiid, Doncic, or Tatum this year. And it would probably be between Embiid or Tatum. But I think you mentioned Morant. I wouldn't mind a little 50-1. He's 50-1 right now on most books. And yeah. That's nice. I mean, if they end up, because they could go on a run. I mean, they are struggling a lot without Steven Adams right now. I think they're 1-7, 1-6 lately. But if they catch fire and they end up, you know, with the 1 seed by, let's say, 5 games. I mean, he'll climb up the MVP standings for sure.
I totally agree. Imagine saying a guy who averaged 31-15 in a season is the worst of a bunch of players. Moses Malone was a god. He was a god. I'm just stepping up for Ken because I know Ken would have thought that was blasphemy. Got to step up in his absence. Moses Malone, before my time, but an absolute terror on the basketball court, just a beast. I will say, I agree. I think anointing a player with a third MVP, you know, that's going to be tough for both Giannis and Jokic to eclipse and kind of get through that barrier. But I'm with you. I do think, I mean, I think a guy like Morant, a guy, you know, maybe a surprise player from the Kings, it's got to be either Fox or Sabonis. But like if the Kings go on some kind of crazy run, it would have to be a crazy run for either team. But then you could have a Derrick Rose type MVP season from one of those guys. You know, same thing really with the Nets or the Cavs. You know,
about the Warriors.
The Warriors. I mean, but I'm saying, like, you know, I think everyone, there wouldn't be a big surprise if, like, Steph Curry, if the Warriors go on a crazy run and win, like, you know, 18 of 20 games, Steph Curry obviously will be a part of the conversation. What would be interesting to me is getting a guy who really hasn't garnered that MVP consideration in the past. So, like, Kyrie, a great player for a long time. If he gets the Nets to the number one seed somehow, very unlikely, he would be much higher. But I, you know, looking at long shots, I think if I'm betting on MVP today, I like the Giannis and Tatum bets. Tatum, fantastic. Celtics, top record in the NBA. You know, and then I would go for at least one of the long shots. And I think Morant 50-1, like you said, that's really, really intriguing.
Yeah, Curry's 80-1.
There you go.
Like if you think the Warriors are going to go on some run,
it's got to be a run. Crazy.
Right,
run.
Exactly. So if you believe that, then I understand your bet for sure in that category. Okay. We had the All-Star reserves announced. In the East, the All-Star reserves are Jaylen Brown, Bam Adebayo, Drew Holiday, DeMar DeRozan, Julius Randle, and Tyrese Halliburton. In the West, it is Domantas Sabonis, Damian Lillard, Paul George, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Lauri Markkanen, and Jaren Jackson Jr. Notable omissions being Devin Booker, Anthony Davis, Trae Young, Pascal Siakam, Jimmy Butler, and James Harden. If there's someone that's not in that list, don't blame me. That's from Adrian Wojnarowski's article. Is there anybody from that omissions list that you think should be on there? And if you're going to put them on there, who would you replace?
It's tough. I mean, I am a strong believer in too many missed games knocks you off the list. So I'm going to put that artificial number at 30 games. If you haven't played 30 games yet, you are not eligible to be on the All-Star team. Right. That's just my personal feeling. So that immediately knocks out Anthony Davis and Booker, both sitting at 29 games. I know Davis will probably get there before the All-Star break. Same for Booker, but they're not there when the voting's completed. You've got guys who are a little bit low on games played, like Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. You know, he's a defensive just beast, but I would have rather have seen someone else sneak in there, like De'Aaron Fox. To me,
right, is
an absolute snub, especially considering where the Kings are in the standings. Trey, Siakam, Harden, I think they all should have been on there as well. Butler's having a solid season, but yeah, you know, the problem is for any of the people you want to call snubs is there's only 12 players from each conference, right? It's really hard to say who doesn't deserve it. Right. You know, which players on here don't deserve it? Brown, Adebayo. I mean, if I'm looking at the Eastern Conference or Western Conference, I can't say none of these. You know, there's not the Triple J is the only player where I'm like, I don't think he deserves it over multiple players. But anyone on the Eastern Conference or any of the other players on the Western Conference reserves, I think they all warranted their placement on the team. They've all like done what's needed to earn that accolade.
Yeah, some people want the All-Star teams expanded. I disagree. I think the decision should be hard. Like, you should have to sit down and be kind of agonized over who gets in. And I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think the games played cutoff is important. At the same time, Anthony Davis is playing so well. I wouldn't mind seeing him over Jaren Jackson Jr. as much as like I'm a Jaren Jackson Jr. like he was on my all-star ballot when Whalen and I did that like 3 weeks ago. I'm like, his defense is too good. The Grizzlies are too good. Now the Grizzlies have slid, and it's not, they don't look the same level of dominance as they did before. So I'd be okay with AD there. And I just think Harden should be in, or Jimmy Butler, honestly. I think Harden or Butler should be in over Julius Randle. The Knicks just aren't that good. I know Randle's playing really well. It doesn't really mean anything to me. Like Butler gets really underrated because I think defense gets underrated in these discussions. He's still one of the best defenders in the NBA. I know he missed some time as well. And then Harden, you and I had a discussion before the podcast. Harden's averaging an efficient 20 and 11 for a team that's 33 and 17, basically tied for the second seed in the East. If you're giving Jaren Jackson Jr. the all-star nod because the Grizzlies are second in the West and they deserve two guys, how come Harden is not in the East because of that? And you're giving it to Randle? I don't get that.
Yeah, totally agree. The Butler one, I will say, it would be harder for me to put Butler on the team because basically you're taking like DeRozan or Randle out for me in that scenario. And DeRozan has played 10 more games and statistically is having a better season than Butler. Butler's solid. They're all good. I wouldn't be opposed to expanding it to 15 players on each team. But you already have guys who are only going to play a handful of minutes anyways. So, if it's just for them to have their participation ribbon, maybe it's not worth it.
Right. Okay. We have Devin Booker, who has been out with a groin injury since he basically aggravated it on Christmas in a game against the Nuggets. He is targeting Tuesday's game against the Nets as it return. And all the NBA reporters keep tweeting about it in a way that makes me think it's absolutely going to happen. So keep in mind for that, if you have Booker, you can probably put him in your starting lineup next week in fantasy. Feels relatively safe. Obviously, we'll know more before then. And this is sort of like an aside, just in terms of like fantasy. If you have guys whose first games are on like a Tuesday, make sure to construct your starting lineup in a way. It's better to put that guy in a utility spot on a Monday, because then if you need to sub him out before his first game, you have more options off your bench to do that if your league allows something like that. But with Booker coming back, I think it's fair to expect Chris Paul and Mikal Bridges to take some steps back. CP3 had a bad game the other night, but he's been playing really well lately, and Bridges has been stepping up a lot. But I think Booker's coming back. Cam Johnson's now playing again. This reminds me a little bit of the Doncic situation, where there weren't too many guys who you could pick up off the waiver wire during the past month or so in a standard league. And one of those guys, Shamet, got hurt right away.
Right. And even the guys like Damian Lee, Torrey Craig, they would have the occasional game where they would pop off a little bit. Dwayne Washington, when CP3 was out as well.
He got waived.
Yeah.
Dwayne Washington's not even on the team anymore.
Yep. And he had one monster like 45 point fantasy game. Okogie. There's a handful of guys, right, that have all had a game or two where they've stepped up. But that's, just basically been on an individual game basis. So if you are holding on to any of those players, I think it's safe to drop them. With Booker out, with Cam Johnson now healthy, you've got the top 6-7 guys in the Suns rotation are all healthy, and they're going to be the ones carrying the load from a fantasy perspective.
Before we move on to the fan feedback section and the waiver wire section, I was shocked when I heard that Andre Roberson signed a G League contract with the Thunder the other day. He's back, ladies and gentlemen. The Thunder are gearing up for a championship run. They brought back Roberson. Very bizarre.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
All right, let's go to the fan feedback section. Ken would like to remind all of you that if you would like us to answer a question, please post a comment on our most recent RotoWire YouTube NBA video. We, of course, wouldn't mind a like or subscribe as well. This week, YouTube superfan Iza Usa, I apologize if I pronounced your name incorrectly. What are your guys' thoughts on Chris Duarte and his longevity in the starting lineup for Indiana? I believe he came off the bench last night and played 6 minutes.
Yep. There's the answer.
That's absolutely the answer that we needed. I am not a Duarte guy. The best stretch of his career was the first month of his career, and he's just shooting too poorly. Like, I thought, even when he was starting, you know, he shot 32% from three. It's not good enough. He's just not an aggressive player. I will say he had a 6-steal game and he passed relatively well, but he's just passive out there and his shot's not falling. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a big believer in his long-term upside, especially if he's coming off the bench and seeing no run. So, you know, this question was submitted while he was still in the starting lineup. Right. Duarte had a decent 4-game stretch in the starting lineup, 31 minutes, 13 points, 4.5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. Per game and 1.8 three-pointers. It's all the more impressive that he had that type of production while only shooting 32% from the floor. From three-point line. So, you know, if he gets a starting nod in the future, he might be a streaming option. But essentially, with the Pacers now healthy, Halliburton back, they've got McConnell. Mathurin, whichever Memhard, one it is,
I'm getting Buddy Hield. They got guys.
They've got guys coming off the bench who are going to be above Duarte in that rotation as well. So unfortunately, you're going to have to cut them loose and find a different streaming option unless there are further injuries for the Pacers.
He's an example of this, and I'm sure we all know, like, if you play basketball, there's people like this, and maybe you play like this, where he just shoots when he's hot. If he hits like two or three, he just shoots. But if he misses two or three, he just runs around out there and it gets scared to shoot. Like, if you look at his game logs, the games that he's taken 10 or more field goal attempts, he's 40% from three. But on the season, he's 30% from three. So it's just he misses a few and he loses all of his confidence and he just doesn't participate. So it's a weird little wrinkle. Let's get into the shooters, waiver watch.
Shooters got to shoot. Keep
shooting.
Shooters
got to shoot.
Exactly. He has to. He has to shoot for his career at this point. Let's get to the waiver wire. In terms of the schedule next week, the only team with two games is the New Orleans Pelicans. Every other team plays three or four. And it's not too busy of a week. There's a lot of three gamers. But Shang and I are each going to provide three waiver wire options in the absence of Ken. I'm going to start with with Denny Avdia of the Washington Wizards, who is 50% rostered in Yahoo and 14% in ESPN. He's played great, as have the Wizards, since the Rui Hachimura trade. Avdia is averaging 16.3 points, 9.5 boards, and 2 dimes. Most importantly, 1.8 steals, and he's shooting 58, 40, 74. Those percentages, the field goal and 3-point are a bit unsustainable, but his rebounding has really increased since Hachimura has been gone. And I think the part of the reason that the Wizards are committed more to Avdia is because he's a way more versatile player than Hachimura, and is a way better defender as well. So I expect that steals production to stay pretty high. Do not be discouraged by the fact that he's coming off the bench. That I think he's going to continue playing high 20s to low 30s minutes. They like him. They're willing to play him. They want to see what they have. Porzingis might get hurt. I think there's plenty of reasons to pick up Avdia.
Yeah, I agree. I love his athleticism. I love his size. You know, he can make some boneheaded plays at times, which will lead to a decrease in playing time. There's some inconsistency as well, but it's hard to argue against the production over the past handful of games, past four games in particular. Gives you a little bit of everything. I think he's definitely worth a consideration in pretty much any 12-team league. He should be rostered.
Who is your first option off the waiver wire?
All right, my first option. This guy is on a heater. Malik Monk for the Kings, who are on a roll. Monk's been crushing it lately. He's coming off the bench, playing that six-man role, providing the team with scoring for the second unit. But his playing time and production have both picked up recently. Over the past five games, Monk's averaging 26 minutes per 15 points, 3.5 boards, 4.5 assists, 1.2 steals, and 1.6 three-pointers. Playing time and production's picked up even more the past two games, averaging 32.5 minutes. In those two games, he's eating into Kevin Herter's playing time. It would be interesting to see what the Kings do tonight. De'Aaron Fox is ruled out for Friday night's game for personal reasons already. So we'll see. Maybe Monk gets a starting nod. Davion Mitchell, of course, is probably the best candidate for that. But Monk's an interesting player who can light it up, and he is low enough rostered, 32% Yahoo, 12% ESPN, that if you're looking for scoring production, he's a guy to consider.
I think they like Monk off the bench. Mm-hmm. So I think Mitchell will start. But yeah, Monk, I mean, he had a great year with LA last year, and he's improved upon that this year. And so, you know, he's a guy I've continued to roster because it feels like I'm about to, like, maybe I should drop Monk, and then he'll go off for like 13-9-8, and I'm like, I can't drop him.
He's only 25. He turns 25 tomorrow, so you know he's still a young guy. I'm still a believer. I mean, I've been a believer since draft day, since his days in Kentucky. And I like what we've seen. If he can get his playing time up, he's averaged 13 points over 13 points in only 22 minutes per game with the Kings. If that playing time creeps up to the 28 minutes per game he was playing last year, he's going to absolutely be worthy of a 12-team consideration and 10-team in some formats.
He's ranked 62nd in per minute fantasy value, to further your point. My next selection off the waiver wire, Precious Achiuwa of the Raptors, 64% rostered on Yahoo, 19% on ESPN. There were some options that were, you know, less rostered in Yahoo, but we mentioned a lot of those guys before. There was Gafford and other guys. I don't think we mentioned Achiuwa much at all this season, so I think it's good to mention him now. He's ranked 53rd over the past 2 weeks. They're really letting him loose. And since January 14th, Achiuwa is averaging 14.5 points on 59% from the field, 8.4 boards, and 1.6 stocks. I'm pretty confident he'll remain in the rotation in this role. Should be worth rostering in most 12-team leagues. And the main thing you have to consider, at least as we head towards the trade deadline, is the possibility that the Raptors either blow this thing up or just shuffle the deck around a little bit. I don't think Achiuwa is going anywhere. I think there's only upside for Achiuwa as the season winds down here.
Yeah, I agree with you. And he's been fantastic. He's been, you know, in the starting lineup, he's been fantastic. And then even off the bench, in the handful of games where he's kind of bounced back and forth, depending on player availability for the Raptors, he's still, you know, doing his per minute production off the bench was solid as well. I would expect this team. I mean, if you look at trade rumors, OG Anunoby is one of the most popular names that's floated out there. If he's moved, I think the Raptors, they stop playing such a small lineup and do what they've been doing. Have Precious and Siakam start in the front court, Barnes at the three, Gary Trent, Van Fleet. You've got all five of those guys rolling and steady production from Precious in that scenario. Even if OG returns, you know, Precious is essentially their sixth man. And I think he warrants consideration in most formats in that scenario as well. So absolutely fantastic pickup. My next choice for 50% or less leagues, Alec Burks. We're going homer pick here. 33% rostered on Yahoo, 5% on ESPN. Burks has been solid for the Pistons over the past few games. He was inserted into the starting lineup on January 26th, and he stuck there for three straight games over that stretch, averaging 29 minutes, 16 points, 5.3 rebounds, three assists, and 3.3 three-pointers. Actually, absolutely crushing it from downtown. 3.3 threes on 6.3 attempts, 52.5%. We know what Burks is. He's been in the league. He's like a 11-year vet. The Pistons are probably showcasing him a little bit prior to the deadline. So it's a short-term add, a streaming option for you. But I think Burks is a solid option between now and the All-Star break or deadline.
Do you have any insight on the lineup change? Do you think it's sort of a showcasing thing? Do you think they wanted to do something specific, or is it just they just want to try something different?
Yeah, I think they're just juggling things up a little bit. I think the hope, I really do think one of the primary reasons was to showcase him in advance of the trade deadline.
I hope so.
Yeah, it really does seem to be the case. I mean, Killian Hayes had missed some time, so you could argue, all right, Killian Hayes sits out a game. You know, he sat out one game, and then the next game, Burks is locked in the starting lineup. But yeah, it does give you more of a look at Jaden Ivey at the point guard position, which I think they want to do as well. But you know, then once you dive into the rotation over the past three games, you know, Ivey played 32 games, had 8 assists in that first outing with Burks in the starting lineup, but then 21 minutes the next game. They go, you know, Dwayne Casey just reverted right back to his usual antics and ridiculous rotation and not giving his young guys enough playing time. Jaden Ivey, Duren, even Killian Hayes, those guys should all be playing well over 30 minutes per game right now. It doesn't make any sense not to. They need the reps. But Burks, purely a showcase assignment in the starting lineup. We'll see. We'll see if it sticks. My guess is it sticks until he's out of town.
We're sticking with the Pistons, believe it or not. My long shot of the week, Hamidou Diallo, who is 12% rostered in Yahoo and 2% rostered in ESPN. Over the past month, he's ranked 140, but over the past 2 weeks, he's ranked 43rd behind some great steal performances. The past 12 games for Diallo, 12.8 points on 69% shooting from the field, 4.5 boards, one dime, and 1.8 steals. He cannot shoot threes. He cannot shoot free throws. And he's playing like 20 minutes a game. But the reality is he is a sick athlete. He was in the dunk contest a couple years ago. And anytime I watch a Pistons game, he is just pushing it in transition. Really hard to stop on the break. And I think that's part of the reason he's only playing 20, 25 minutes is Casey just goes and tells him, like, turn it into a track meet for 15 minutes. And you're going to shoot 70% from the field when we hit you in the open court because you're just getting good looks all the time. I'm not sure this is a – I don't think it's a move for 12-teamers. It's a little too unstable with the minutes. But if you're in a 16-team league, I would definitely take a look because I think the steals production is real and I think the field goal percentage production is real. And it's been going on for too long for me to say this is some fluke. So I would definitely look into that if you're in a 16-teamer.
Yeah, he's similar to Josh Jackson in production and kind of his skill set. So if you were in a league where, you know, like let's say the 2020 season or certain stretches of 2021 where you were able to pick up Josh Jackson and utilize him and get some fantasy value out of him, then your boy Ham Diallo might be similar type of pickup. I am not as convinced in his viability long-term. You know, it could be interesting though. I mean, he's another guy who the Pistons could easily include in a trade to make contracts work. No one's going to necessarily be hunting him down to have him be a part of a contender push. But he could be tacked on in any kind of deal. It's tough. It's tough to bet on a guy who's, you know, only playing about 20 minutes per, but he's producing right now. And if you need to stream, he's an option, especially on the steal side. I mean, he's got legit upside for steals.
Yeah, he is. I think he's more so like a 4-game week streamer.
Yes.
But it all depends on what you need.
Which is the case with most of these long shots, right? I would argue the two. I'm going to highlight two. They're guys we've talked about recently, but I think they warrant further consideration. DFS, Dorian Finney-Smith, 32% rostered, Yahoo 10% on ESPN. We talked about it a little bit when discussing Luka's injury. The minutes are just, he's getting boatloads of minutes right now over the past four games, 36 minutes per, averaging 12 points, 8.8 rebounds, one steal, and 2.3 three-pointers over that stretch. You know, the shooting isn't too ridiculous. You know, 39% from the three-point, 47% from field goal. Those are legit. I mean, it's not too far off his career lines or his past couple seasons, what he's been able to do from both the floor and downtown. So I think that's sustainable. The minutes are going to be there. So Dorian Finney-Smith's guy I would recommend picking up if you're in deeper formats. And then Drew Eubanks, got to talk about him again because Nurkic is hurt again. Yusuf Nurkic sitting out Friday. And on Wednesday, after Wednesday's game against the Wizards, he was spotted in a walking boot. Nurkic only played 2 minutes in that game before leaving, before injury. He managed to play 26 minutes. He missed a game, played 26 minutes, and then played two, and then he was hurt again. Eubanks is the guy to pick up. He's going to get starting nod on Friday, would be my guess. No official announcement there yet, but he started the last game that Nurkic missed. And in the game that Nurkic left early, Eubanks played 24 minutes, 11 points, 11 rebounds, and one steal and one block. He's a streaming option at the center position if you need it.
Yeah, Nurkic had been dealing with that calf injury before that game. And I think it was probably something they were trying to push him through because the Blazers need to win games. They can't be like sitting guys who are sort of hurt. they need to just tell those guys to go out and play. I think he probably aggravated it. Now he's going to be out for a while. Eubanks is a good pickup. We saw it happen last year. He has more shot blocking upside than he's shown. He can catch lobs. That's just a quality waiver wire pickup. Okay, let's go to the DFS portion of today's podcast. Fans, sign up for FanDuel now and compete for millions of dollars in prizes each day. Choose your best NBA lineup and compete to win real cash.
Oh, nice.
8-game slate today. As I hurt myself trying to talk like Ken. 8-game slate today. Highest over-unders. There's two over 240. That's sort of the high mark that we use these days. Hawks at Jazz, 242. Hornets at Shannon's Detroit Pistons. That's going to be up and down. That's going to be a fun game. 240. As always, for the injuries, check the RotoWire lineups page. We have tons of useful tools on that daily lineups page. And you can try RotoWire for free, including our DFS lineup optimizers, by going to rotowire.com/try. Okay, so the slate today, are you looking towards those two high over-under games to sort of start things off?
Yeah, that's certainly one of the first places I looked. LaMelo Ball is a player I love to roster DFS slates. You know, he had a nice 69.5 point fantasy outing against the Bucks earlier this week. Followed that up with 39.6 against the Bulls. He was ejected from that game late last night. Still played 35 minutes though. But it's just crazy to watch him. Like even last night, I'm keeping tabs on. They had the early game, and I'm keeping tabs on it. And he had 10 fantasy points in the first like 2.5 minutes of action in that game. That's just the type of player he is. He racks it up. He gets steals. He hits threes, assists, rebounds, scoring. It's all there. He's got that crazy 70 point upside, which we've seen. He's at 9,100. And the matchup, of course, is great. So I like that. So the other players from that game, Alec Burks, we discussed for free agency pickups. But you know, as long as he's starting it in the Pistons lineup, and he remains affordable or discounted on FanDuel, he's at 5,000 right now. I think he is warranting a look for your roster. And then Jalen Duren, a bit riskier. He's at 6,000. He's had a couple of really big DFS nights, including a 53.5 point outing against the Bucks. A lot of that was in garbage time as the Pistons were blown out that game. I want to say it was like a 30 point loss. I may be misremembering that some, but it was ugly. I know that much. I know as are 90% of Pistons games this season, it was ugly. But Duren, I like at 6,000. If you're looking to, if that's kind of your amount you're allocating for the center position, I think he's one of the better options. Another game that I like quite a bit, you know, that's outside of those two, the 240 over under, is Toronto against the Rockets. Rockets still shorthanded. No Green or Porter playing for the Rockets tonight, which means Eric Gordon.
Yeah.
Eric Gordon coming off 236 fantasy point outings, back-to-back games, 33 and 34 minutes in each of those outings. You know, they essentially don't have a point guard when Green and Porter are out. You'll have Knicks get a spot start, but not do much with it. Shangoon will handle distribution a little bit more. And then also Eric Gordon will be handling the ball quite a bit more. So I like Aaron Gordon at 5,400. In that matchup. On the other side of the matchup, I'm going with Scotty Barnes. He's just playing boatloads of minutes. OG's out. He's been basically averaging over 40 fantasy points for about a 15 game stretch now, a couple 50 point games mixed in there. I like his upside. I like his floor at 8,200, especially with OG out.
I really like the Eric Gordon call. If you use the on-off court stats tab in our daily lineups page, you can see that with Porter and Jalen Green off the court, Eric Gordon has a 13% usage bump up to 28%. And within this particular starting lineup, the Rockets are expected to throw out, if Jabari Smith plays, Gordon's got a 33% usage rate. So everything you said, completely true. Such a great play at like 5,500 cash games, GPPs. I assume he's going to be heavily rostered, but I mean, why not? Why not play him?
Yep.
We mentioned earlier, De'Aaron Fox is out. This is a Malik Monk opportunity. And Davion Mitchell as well. I don't mind either of those guys. You know, Monk's at only 5,300. That's really hard to avoid. And Davion Mitchell is at 3,800, which given that price, that salary, I should say, is also pretty hard to avoid. You know, he's got like, when he plays at least 24 minutes, 17 fantasy points, that's not a lot, but 230 point fantasy point outings in there. And he's only 3,800, right? So you can squeeze him into your lineup if you need to. Eubanks, we mentioned before, his price at this point, 4,600. Again, he also is power forward and center eligible on FanDuel. So he's really easy to squeeze into your lineup. Again, another guy that's just hard to avoid. This might be a situation where you can end up with two or three like elite guys. Like you mentioned LaMelo, you could probably get LaMelo in there. You can get some other guys in there because there's just a lot of values around that like 4,000 to 5,500 salary range.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I have Davion Mitchell. I might swap him out if he's not named the starter. They're playing in Indiana. It's a 7 p.m. Eastern tip, so we're going to know before lineups lock, which is always nice. You know, I like the matchup against Indiana. Sticking with that game and highlighting a high-dollar player, an expensive player, Sabonis is at 9,900, which for me, Sabonis going back to Indiana to play, coming off a 62-point fantasy outing against the Spurs. He's had a couple days off. I'm surprised, or he's had a day off at least. I'm surprised Sabonis is under 10,000 for this slate, but I love him. And all the more so with Fox out, Sabonis is, it's only three games without Fox, but he's averaging five more fantasy points per. So he's basically at 50 fantasy points per game with Fox out. Good luck finding another player averaging 50 fantasy points or more that's under $10,000 on FanDuel. That does not happen. So I like Sabonis as an expensive option. I mentioned Scotty Barnes earlier. He's 8,200. Brad Beal is kind of a shot in the dark a little bit. Sure. Just because, you know, he's played in six games since returning to action. He's had his minutes somewhat suppressed. Just only hit 30 minutes, two out of those six games. 32 is the highest total. But he's coming off a big game against the Spurs, 44 fantasy points, $8,000. You know, Beal is rarely that cheap on FanDuel. He is going to be fresh as well. The Wizards have not played since January 30th. So I like Beal considerably. Mello, like LaMelo, like we talked about. You can mix in quite a few high price players with combo of discounted options for tonight's slate. It's a solid, solid NBA slate.
Portland's defense struggling. Beal, I think there's a chance Beal is pretty low rostered because it just, you're right, he's coming off a great game. But I think this might be an example of how $1,000 increments can make a difference in people's psychology. Like if Beal was 7,900, people would be like, Beal for 7,900. But that flip to eight, I feel like makes people less. But yeah, that could be a good low roster played against a bad defense, which those are never bad opportunities. If we're talking DFS and you're trying to find, you know, hey, what's a guy who I think might be low rostered? Just look at guys who've been playing only okay lately, nothing exciting, but they're going against trash defenses. Beal, the Charlotte-Detroit game is a good example. But if a team was playing Charlotte, maybe you'd be like, hey, maybe you like Sadiq Bey. Maybe Sadiq Bey has a crazy game against the Hornets. Hornets can't defend. There are guys like that across the whole thing. I will say, as one of our last points here, this Atlanta Utah game, which has the 242 over under, the highest of the slate. I looked this up the other day I was looking up a fun fact to post in one of our emails. The Jazz, more than any, despite the Jazz being the feel good story of the year, they're 27-26. They have given up the most quote unquote monster games to opponents this season. 40, if people know the game score stat is essentially just like the new PER. So 40 is an absurd number. They've given up the most 40 game score performances, most monster performances compared to any team in the NBA. If there's one guy who's going to pop off for Atlanta, it's probably Trae Young. I don't think Mike Conley can guard him. I don't think Jordan Clarkson can guard him. So I wouldn't mind a little Trae Young. And we're talking about a guy who, again, his reputation is starting to slide a little bit. He's 9,500 on FanDuel. I don't mind it at all.
My man gets so much shade just because of his hair. That's the only reason. He averaged 27-10, and people act like he's dropping off. Like, it's just absurd to me. If this team were winning more, if this was a 2 or 3 seed, he would also be in the MVP conversation. He's dipped a little bit this season compared to last year, but man, Trae Young still 27-10. That's so ridiculous to have those types of numbers, and then mix in, you know, a couple 3-pointers per game as well. And playing alongside a new backcourt teammate too, which, you know, a guy in DeJounte Murray who likes to handle the ball himself. So, you know, I'm not too surprised that Trae's dipped a little bit from past years, but also, like, you know, his shooting's down 42.8%, 32.2% from downtown. He's a guy who I would not be surprised if he has just a monster stretch in the second half of the season, where, you know, 20 game stretch where he's much, much higher than that. You know, shoots 40% from downtown and improves upon what he's done so far. In fact, I know you look at his split stats from past seasons. You know, his split stats in his rookie season in particular were very drastic, how much better he was in the second half of the season. You could see a similar scenario play out this year, just as him and Murray kind of become more comfortable playing alongside each other. It takes a lot of games to get that kind of chemistry.
Yeah, and the Hawks are probably going to, they should be, I think, be in the trade discussions. They have a lot of young assets that just, if you're them, you know, it's like, well, we got a Kongwu, he's coming off the bench. Maybe we can trade Hunter and upgrade a spot. So they might, and they obviously want to trade Collins. They've wanted to trade Collins forever. So they may be a different looking team after the deadline. Obviously, that's not relevant for today. But yeah, I think there's an opportunity for you to put like Trae Young and Bradley Beal in your lineup, two guys whose reputations have taken small hits and just haven't been playing super well lately against teams with bad defenses who give up big games, and you know, get some get a unique lineup in there to try to crush a GPP.
Absolutely.
Any last words on DFS?
Go win.
Go win. FanDuel is providing a special offer to all new users. Sign up for FanDuel, play $1 in an NBA contest, and receive $10 instantly. That's a 10-to-1 value. My God. There's no old man rant today, although I can't, I think this is from last week, Ken's rant about the Orlando Magic. No old man rant today, but Ken did give us a quote. First, I will say thank you, everybody, for joining us on the Road to Wire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. It is presented by FanDuel. Ken wants us to go to Dallas, where Dallas Morning News asked Dorian Finney-Smith if he noticed Mavs fans pleading online with the team to not trade Dorian Finney-Smith, to which he replied, "That feels good, man. I appreciate all the love." At one point, fans were saying, "Who the F is this? I appreciate it. I guess they see the hard work I put in and how far I've come."
Ken's, you could, I'm sorry, was that the entire quote?
That's the entire quote.
Okay. You could tell Ken's age is really showing in the notes, the dash, the on dash line.
Yes.
That's total grandpa. Total grandpa. Oh, gross.
All right. Thank you, everybody. This two car fantasy train wreck has hit the end of the line.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.